First Corinthians chapter 1. All right, let's all stand. We'll read a few verses. We'll start at verse 1 again, and we'll read down. We'll just read till we get tired of reading. Might read the whole chapter. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, and all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf, for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus, besides I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Father, we thank you again for the privilege we have to come and gather here on Wednesday evening. Lord, we thank you for the songs that's already been sung. Lord, we pray for the prayer requests that's been mentioned. Lord, I pray that you'll touch and meet each need. Lord, I pray for those downstairs, be with these kids and young people. Lord, as they do this practice, this Christmas program, Lord, I pray that you'll use it to glorify your Son. Lord, we thank you for this time of the year. Lord, it's been set aside that we can recognize and celebrate your birth. Lord, at coming into this world, Lord, to fulfill all righteousness, Lord, and to go to Calvary and die for our sins. Lord, we thank you for the blood that you shed, Lord, and thank you for the opportunity we have just to celebrate you at this time of the year, Father. We love you, and we thank you for all that you do for us. Lord, if there's one here tonight that's struggling, God, I pray that you'll give grace for the hour. Lord, I pray if there's one lost even here or downstairs. Lord, we know no man's heart. God, I pray that your will be done. I pray for those that are watching by way of internet. Lord, I pray that you'll touch and deal with hearts, Father. Thank you again for the opportunity we have to come and gather. And Lord, we can leave now and say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Have your way, and we'll give you glory and praise for all that you do and accomplish. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' sake, amen. You can be seated. We've been looking at these things of God, and we've covered several things, the will of God, and we've covered the church of God, spent several weeks there. And then the grace of God, we spent several weeks. And I want to look at this just simple thought tonight here from verse 18, where he mentions, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. I thank God for the power of God this evening. I'll tell you, we're living in a world when everybody's got everything figured out tonight. The theologians has got it all figured out. We've got more Bible teaching probably than this world has ever known. And we've probably know less about God than we've ever known, as far as the people in churches, as far as the power of God. You know, there's a lot of things we could do without. We've learned how to perform. We've learned how to plan, and we've learned how to have programs, but I'm going to tell you something we've never learned how to do, and that's perform without the power of God in our lives and in our services. If there's ever been a time that we need the power of God, it's in this day and hour that we're living in. Across this land, we see a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And that's why we're not sinners saved today. Back, you know, at the turn of the century, we hear of revivals that took place, and even back in the 1800s when there would be little spurts of revival, there was the Welsh revival, the Great Awakening, and where a great number of people were saved. I remember reading the story of Jonathan Edwards and how he read his sermon by candlelight on sinners in the hands of an angry God, and people fell trembling in the service there. It was because of the power of God. I've heard of other meetings where the man of God would get up and take a text and read, and the power of God would fall upon the service, and people would get under conviction and would get born again by the grace of God that we've studied and looked at. And I thank God for the grace of God. No man gets saved outside the grace of God, and no man will get saved outside the power of God being evident in our services. And that's what we need tonight in our lives, in our homes, in our churches all across this land. We need a touch of the power of God in this day and hour that we're living in. Paul, probably one of the greatest theologians that ever lived, wrote us the 14 books that God has given us in the New Testament, and he knew something about the power of God. I believe the Apostle Paul knew he couldn't make it without the power of God in his life and in his preaching. I mean, here's a church at Corinth. They had everything. They were enriched by him, by the Lord, in everything, in all utterance and all knowledge. They had all these things, and but there was a lot of problems there in this early church here at Corinth. And that's what Paul come in, and he had heard of those things, and he came in and he began to deal with those contentions, those divisions, that immorality that was there. But thank God that the first thing in the first chapter he mentions about is about the preaching of the cross. Here he said it's to them that perish foolishness. And we've lived to see a day today that all across this land, if you preach this Bible, if you preach the cross, if you preach the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection People will turn you off real quick. Man wants to do something to get to God. And it's all of grace. And the only way that anyone's going to get saved tonight is through the preaching of the cross. And that's what Paul said here about the preaching of the cross. He said, "It's to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." I'm glad I'm saved tonight, aren't you? Hey, I'm glad I got saved the old-fashioned way. You know, and everybody that's ever got saved, they got saved the old-fashioned way. When the power of God fell in a service where the conviction was real, sinners were convicted, they come to the realization that they were lost. And even sometimes people think that they're going to hell right then, and it takes the power of God to move people. That's why you preach sometimes today and you see people, they'll look at you like a calf looking at a new gate. They don't know what's going on because we don't have that power of God in our lives like we used to. People used to depend upon the Holy Spirit. They used to depend upon the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Ghost. But we've lived to see a day today. Hey, we've learned how to do it. We've got all the I's dotted and the T's crossed, but we're lacking one element in our churches, in our preaching all across this land, and that's the power of God. It's going to take that if we ever see revival. We're going to have to get to that point of where we desire it, where we want it, and where we're seeking after it to the best of our abilities and yielding ourselves to the Lord as fully as we can and getting rid of the sin and the things in our lives that's going to hinder the power of God. And that's what's happened today. We swept sin under the rug. We quit preaching against sin because, well, I'm going to tell you, most churches are in debt so much until they're afraid that the money people are going to leave if they preach against sin, if they preach against the very things that's robbing us of the power of God. We just need to get to that point where if we want the power of God in our lives, we need to realize we're going to have to deal with the sin in our lives and in our churches all across this land. And I believe that we could still experience and see revival again and see the power of God fall where those hardened sinners, those that you thought would never move, we'll see them walk down the aisle and step out and come down and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Thank God for the power of God. When I was a young lad of a boy, I remember going to a service and the Holy Ghost move in the service and sinners would get saved. And it wasn't unusual for 8 or 10 people to get saved in a revival meeting. It wasn't unusual to hear of 40 or 50 getting saved in a meeting. And why? Because the difference is they were experiencing the power of God back at this time. People depended upon the Lord and upon His power and upon His presence in their services. But Paul said, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Paul said over there in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, he said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So we see that we need the power of God. And I believe that the power of God is available today. If we'll get to that point in our lives and we desire it in our lives and we'll respond to God when He speaks to us, when He shows us things that we will yield ourselves to Him. There he said, "For the preaching of the cross," that word preaching there, it's a proclamation by a herald that denotes a message, a preaching, the substance of what is preached. The word foolishness comes from a word moria. It's an English word for moron. A moron has limited ability to think logically. Logos is the opposite of moria. A logical person is the opposite of of a moron. So we see here that Paul said, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolish. It takes a moron to not want to hear about the grace of God. It takes someone that's not using their faculties that God's given them and looking down on the fact of the simplicity that's in Christ and the gospel, the good news that Jesus has died, was buried, and resurrected again the third day. We see that word power. It comes from a word which is dunamis. It's an English word for dynamite. It denotes overpowering strength with explosive capabilities. It is a force that causes a change, and in this case, a constructive change rather than a destructive one. It can change you in spite of yourself. That same word in Romans 1:16, where it says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. I thought about that dynamite, the power of God. That's what the gospel is. It's God's dynamite that'll blast a sinner out of his old hardened state that he's in, that one that you think can't be moved, that's just solid as a rock, looks like, and nothing's going to move him. But I'm glad that the gospel, the dynamite of God, can move him. I remember riding along the roads, and you probably remember places where you've seen road work going on, and you'll see these little channels that they have drilled down through the rocks there, and it looks like it's about that big around from any standpoint when you're riding along the road. Maybe bigger than that. I've never got out and really examined them, but I was thinking about that this evening. I remember the first time I ever paid any attention, it was going over toward Gatlinburg there past Franklin, where they cut the road through the gap there, and it made getting to Pigeon Forge and Gatlinburg so much quicker. They had the roads blocked a long time. It'd take you 3 or 4 hours to get over there when they were working on those roads, but they dynamited those rocks there, and I remember seeing that. And what they'll do, they'll drill that little hole down through there, way down into those rocks, and then they'll drop that dynamite in there, and those guys that knows how to set off those explosives, and it works so perfectly, it'll just destroy that rock, and it'll just shear it off, and it'll get it out of the way. You know, that's the way that God's gospel is a dynamite, that it'll just work on somebody, and it'll just blow them out of their stubbornness, out of their rigid way. They're unwilling to move. But I'm glad that when it's preached in its power and in its purity, that it'll move sinners in this day and hour that we're living in. We see that God's gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is God's dynamite. It will move sinners. And we see that the preaching of the cross, number one, it displays the love of God. As we go back in through the Bible, we find places where it said, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we know that even before the foundations of the world, God looked down through times, and he's seen you and I that are here tonight, that because we believe the gospel, because of that dynamite of God's gospel that blew us out of our seat, and it moved us toward God and got us into that position where we had the faith and used the faith that he'd given us to place in his son that bled and died and shed his blood. He did that for you and I before we was even born. Did you know that? He was willing to send his son, and he displayed his love there on Calvary's cross. I'm glad he loved me, aren't you? I'm glad he loved me when I was unlovable. I mean, he seen the need in my life, and he said, I love him, and I'm going to send my son to die for him on Calvary's cross, that we can have a relationship, that he can have his sins forgiven, that he can go to heaven one of these days. But we see the preaching of the cross displays the love of God. You can't preach the cross without preaching the love of God. I like them songs about the love of God, don't you? The love of God is greater for. And those songs that said it, talks about the ocean that the ink, a pen that the ocean couldn't fill. And shows and displays the love of God. And we see when a gospel message is preached that it displays the love of God. We see the preaching of the cross can save mankind. I thank God for the gospel that's gone out on the airways across this land. There's been a time when radio preaching was really effective. Did you know that? It used to be a time when I was a young man that the gospel was going out across this land and people was listening to it and people was getting saved by listening to it on the radio. Back in the 60s and 70s, we had Edgar Thomas was on the radio. Mays Jackson was on the radio. And they was just a lineup of them preachers on the big gun until they formatted their schedule back yonder. And then they started moving them preachers around. They put Brother Edgar down on 3 o'clock hour back then. And he got off of it. He said, "Ain't nobody going to listen to you at 3 o'clock in the afternoon." And they had Brother Edgar, I believe, come on at 10 o'clock. Mays Jackson come on at maybe 11 o'clock. Dr. Sattler, the Bright Spot Hour, he always come on at like 9 or 9:15. There was some other preacher, Oliver Green, used to come on and preached across this land. And still today, you'll be riding through South Carolina listening to some of those that radio station over at Tabernacle there. And a lot of times you can hear Dr. Oliver B. Green preaching the gospel of the grace of God. What a blessing it is. And the preaching of the cross can save men if they'll listen. We've got, the devil has tricked us today. We've got so caught up in things of this world. I mean, even the Christmas season. I mean, it's so commercialized today that you can't hardly get people to see the real reason for Christmas, even in churches today. There's more to it than Santa Claus. It's about Jesus. And when we get outside that, we've done forgot the whole meaning and purpose to celebrate Christmas today. It's about a Savior that loved us and came to this world to be born of a virgin and to grow up and go to a place called Golgotha and lay His life down. And the preaching of the cross can save man if they'll listen. But we're so sidetracked today with everything and anything. Even our churches are sidetracked from the preaching of the gospel. It's lost all purpose just about in most churches. We're more concerned with having a youth program or doing something with the youth or getting people, entertaining people to come to church than we are really to see people saved and the gospel preached. Nothing wrong with some of those things. I think we ought to try to get our kid and have a youth group. I'd love to have 20 or 30 youth. I tell you what, you get some young people on fire for God, it'll liven up the house of God. I mean, it can liven it up to a good way. And you can see young people that can be effective and be influential on other young people. And when you start reaching them young people, that's a good way to reach the parents. But the preaching of the cross can save man. Used to have spring revival and August revival. The August meeting, after the farmers got their crops laid by, they'd have morning and night meetings. I think that's where a lot of these kids got their concept of camp meeting, you know, and they'll have their camp meetings and they'll have preaching in the morning, preaching in the afternoon, and then preaching at night. But in those old-fashioned August meetings, when they would have the morning meeting and the afternoon meeting, and then they'd invite the preacher home with them and eat. And they'd cook the meal. I've been to a lot of places when my dad and other preachers were preaching those meetings, and they'd go for the morning meeting. There wasn't a whole lot of people. There was more than there are here tonight most of the time. And sometimes they were pretty good crowds because people weren't so consumed with this affairs of this life, and they were concerned about getting the gospel and getting their loved ones there and seeing people get saved, because they knew that the preaching of the gospel could save man. We just go through the motions here lately. In this last day and hour that we're living in, you don't see many meetings like it. We ain't got time, really, to have revival. We've changed those week meetings to weekend meetings. Brother Samuel, he said them weekend meetings, said they start week and they end week. And that's about right. Brother Sammy always wanted to come for 2 weeks. Well, he said, you can't have revival. He said, take you a week, get in shape to have revival. And we had him a couple times for a 2 week meeting, but you know, got to people, they'll turn out sometimes, but we'll just go through the motions of it if we're not careful. I tell you what's good when a meeting breaks out. When you have a one-night meeting and it breaks out to the second night and then the third night, and then it breaks out into a week, and then it breaks out into 2 weeks without forcing it to go on. Thank God for meetings where the power of God gets in it and it moves, and the meeting just sort of breaks out. We had those 5 weeks there with Brother Sammy back 100 years ago at Harmony Street, and then we tried to have another meeting 2 weeks, and it never happened again like that. It never happened. We had the 2 week meeting, and then maybe tried to have revival again. And you know, you just can't force revival. God is sovereign, and He sends it. And it's going to take the preaching of the cross if we ever experience the power of God. We see the preaching of the cross displays the love of God. The preaching of the cross can save man. We see the preaching of the cross has power to change man. Reason we're not seeing much change, no conversion, no change. No change, no conversion. But that's the power of the gospel. If you go through those places where they've dynamited that rock, they blow all that rock down, but then the cleanup begins. And then it begins to change the landscape when they go to hauling out the big rocks. They have to get all that stuff, the rubbish and everything. There's always cleanup after an explosion. And that's the same way with the gospel. After a person experiences the saving power of the gospel, then the cleanup starts. And that same gospel that's the dynamite of God, hey, that same gospel can clean a person up. I've seen it too many times. People that get saved and they trust Jesus and God does something in their life, it changes their life. It cleans them up. You don't have to pump and prime all the time. You don't have to just stand on top of people that's been saved by the grace of God. When God blows them out of their seat, I'm going to tell you, there'll be a cleanup that follows. And if there's no cleanup, then you might ought to check up. And they'll fizzle out usually on down the road, maybe a year or 2 years. It might take even 3 years sometimes. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes people just, if there's no change and no cleanup in their lives, they'll fizzle out. Because if you're preaching that book, it's quick and it's sharp and it's powerful than any two-edged sword, you're going to cut somebody eventually. It cuts going in and it cuts coming out. But the preaching of the cross has power to change man. Then let me say lastly, the preaching of the cross has power to draw man. If it's preached in its power, there'll be drawing power. Jesus said over there, He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. I tell you what, there's just something about preaching the love of God and preaching the cross of Christ. Hey, that if it's preached in its power and its purity and the power of God is moving, it'll draw people. Because it's going to, first of all, it's going to present the love of God. And this is going to present the wrath of God. You're either going to one or two places. You're either going to heaven, or you're going to hell. And I'm going to tell you, the gospel will expose that in your life. And if it's preached in its power, and it's preached the way that God designed it to, let me tell you this evening, it'll still draw men to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. I believe we ought to teach these kids that when the Holy Ghost deals with their heart right then and there, that's the time for them to get saved. Let God do it, but we need to let them know, hey, that if the Holy Ghost is dealing with their heart, they know that they're dying and going to hell, and that, that Jesus died for them and He shed His blood on Calvary's cross. If they know those things, then that they're, if they don't accept Jesus, that they're going to hell, it's time for them to get saved. You know, the rapture's going to take place. It's definitely going to take place. It's imminent. It could happen at any moment. Nothing in this Bible that I know of has to be fulfilled for the catching away of the church. Now, for the second coming of Christ, when He comes back with His saints at the end of the tribulation, there's some things that's going to have to happen. But far as the catching away of the church, and people get that confused a lot of times, there's nothing that has to take place. No prophecy has to be fulfilled. It could take place at any moment. Jesus could come back. And if He comes back and those little kids, if we believe our Bible like we say that we believe our Bible, if our children and grandchildren, if they've come to the time of accountability and Jesus comes and we go out of here, they're going to be left here. I don't care if they're 5 years old or if they're 4 years old or 6 years old. Don't say I'm a heretic now. I'm just saying if the Holy Ghost has dealt with them and they've come to the time of accountability and they realize that they're a sinner and that they're going to die and go to hell if they don't accept Jesus as their Savior and they know the difference in right and wrong, they know what sin is, then they'll be left behind. And so that's why it's so important, hey, that when Jesus says suffer the little children to come in, what He says suffer, that word just means to allow them to come. We should never hold back a child, hey, that's come to the time of accountability and they need to get saved. Hey, we need to be able to take our Bible, be discerning, and lead them to the Lord and show them how to get saved. And usually they already know. We just need to point them to Jesus. He's the one that can save them. Point them to the one that said, allow them to come. Suffer the little children coming to me and forbid them not. The preaching of the cross has power to draw men to God. Even in this cold, dark day that we're living in, I'm still glad. I want to be where the power of God is. I want to be where if sinners come in, they're not laughing and they're not come up to the front seat and sit there and they act like that. Nothing's never dealt with them. I want them to get real uneasy when they come into the church house. I don't want them to be comfortable. I want to make them welcome, but I don't want them to be comfortable. I want the Holy Ghost to deal with their hearts, to point them out and show them that they're lost, but then that the gospel can save them if they'll trust Jesus. The preaching of the cross has power to draw men to God. Now, we can try to put men under conviction. I've been in a lot of services where man tries to put people under conviction, where man tries to convince people that they're lost. Now, if church members are lost, they've never been saved, I want them to get saved. I made two professions of faith myself. As a kid, I made a profession back under about 8 years old or so, and then at 17 years old, I went down and I got saved. I got saved then. And I cried when I went the first time. I remember it. I cried. But I believe man put me under conviction. I was tender-hearted, Brother Keith, and I was sitting about the second bench. Best I can remember at Timbridge Baptist Church, I was sitting about the second bench. I think I was over against the wall maybe. And my cousin, he began to witness to me. He was a couple years older than me. And then there was two preachers. They come back there and began to talk with me. And I got crying and I went down to the altar and Ethel Riles prayed with me and she talked with me and I got up and I made a profession. Faith, they carried me down yonder to the Flat Shoals Creek. My dad dunked me down there. At that time, he questioned me and asked me what happened and everything. And best I can remember, I just went through the motions of it. I didn't get saved. And I went on through my teenage years, and there was never no change in my life. I never had no peace in my heart. And at 17, I got saved. Now, I still ain't been perfect since then. I've done some things I was ashamed of, but I'm going to tell you, I've had peace in my heart. I know that, hey, when I walked down that aisle and I stepped out back yonder from the second pew to the back on that Friday night and I began to make my way down to the altar, I believe God did a work of grace in my heart somewhere between the back and the front. The Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confessions made unto salvation. And I got down and I prayed. And I asked Jesus to save me. And I believe He did that work of grace somewhere between the back and the front. And I've been repenting ever since then, Terry. It's been a lifelong thing. But if they have no peace in their heart, they need to get saved. But I'm going to tell you, I've seen high pressure evangelism just as bad as shallow evangelism is. You can high pressure people into it, and the Holy Ghost ain't no words around it. And I believe we ought to preach with power and anointing and the unction of the Holy Ghost, and then the Holy Ghost can convict them. I think we can sense sometimes when people are under conviction. And when the power of God is really moving in our services, it's very evident. I've been in some services when I was lost and I was doing and fiddling and trying to look around and look at the songbook and trying to look like I was okay, and I could feel condemnation on my face. And I felt like that the preacher could see it too. It was guilt from my sin. I was wrong. I was lost. And I needed Jesus. But we need to let the Holy Ghost deal with people about their lost condition. Now, I believe the Holy Ghost uses us sometimes. And He might impress you sometimes to go talk with somebody. I'm not saying that. But I believe if we're in a service and invitation's given, we better make sure that it's the Holy Ghost telling us if we did do that. As far as I know, I've never went to nobody in a service. Now, we've extended invitations when I felt impressed that someone was lost in the meeting. But I'm going to tell you, if the Holy Ghost can't convict them, I can't. I've seen some people that preachers have sold them some convictions. And I think some people need to borrow some convictions from some people, from some preachers. But I'm going to tell you, if you don't have a conviction about it and you quit doing something instead of the reason that you love Jesus and you think it's wrong, if you do it just because I want you to, you'll go back to it when I'm gone. But I'm going to tell you, if we get right with God and we can experience the power of God, I believe God will give us some convictions about some things. Some things that you might not think is important that are important. And it might be a hindrance for the power of God to move in our lives and in our congregation. Because we're being holding on to that thing that we don't want to let go of. We need the power of God in our lives. We need the power of God in our church. We need the power of God in our home. If you're raising kids, I'm going to promise you, you need the power of God in your life. Because I'm going to tell you, the devil is making a bid for them today. And we need to get them while they're young. But the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. That word perish means lost. And there's a lot of people that's in that condition today. They're lost and on their way to hell. And it's going to take the power of God to move them. And I'm glad Paul got it right here. He knew who he was dealing with. He talks about the preaching of the cross, the power of God. He talks about the wisdom of God. He talks about the foolishness of God is wiser than men and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And then he goes on, here's what I like. Here's who he uses a lot of times. He said, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Man thinks they've got it all figured out. The elite in intellects of this day, they think they've got this book figured out. In reality, they don't have it figured out. That's why God will use some simple-minded man of God that might have a third-grade education, and he'll preach the house of fire and people will get saved. That bumfuzzles people. And he goes on and he says, And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not. I'm glad he didn't use just the things that are not. The things that are not important to this world, the people that are not important to this world, God can use them. That no flesh should glory in His presence. We figured it out today, and that's why we're not experiencing, I believe, the power of God today. You know, I've said a while ago, we've had so much Bible teaching, and that's good. We've got to have Bible teaching. But we figured it out. We've read out of the Scriptures, I believe. Figured it all out, and we've left God out of the factor, the power of God. And it's going to take the power of God today to move these sinners today that are hard. These kids are hard today. Young people that'll walk up and they'll take a gun and they'll just blow your brains out and not even bat an eye. They are hardening. And it's going to take the power of God to move people. The prisons are full. The hospitals are full. Because of people neglect their soul salvation. That's why we're in such a mess today. Lord, we sure do thank You, Father, for the time we've had here this evening. Lord, we thank You for the power of God, Lord, and we know that it's available to us today, Lord. And I pray that You'll help us to get to that point and place in our lives, Lord, where we desire to see the power of God move in our services. Lord, send revival to this place. Send revival to this people. Send revival in my life. Lord, I need reviving myself today, Lord. Lord, I know I've not arrived. And Lord, I know that I'm not exactly probably where I need to be. God, I pray that You stir my heart and my soul. Lord, that we desire to see You move and to come down and just move in this place like never before. We need You, God. Lord, I pray that You would. Lord, just come down and help us, Lord. And let us experience the power of God. Lord, before we get out of here, one more time, Lord, do it again, oh God. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.